All right, welcome to Creating Cash Flow for January 9th, 2022. We're going to start off with Evan, whose side biz, main biz, is freelance technical writing. You're a cash flow kitten, except when the check clears, you will likely be a cash flow cat because victory report, number one, your client accepted your proposal.
Yep.
Okay, so you had a meeting with them. They asked you to lower your price. You reworked the proposal at a lower price while also reducing the scope of the project. Yes, the only way to do it. To hold yourself to the value of your work and not just succumb to meeting in the middle. Oh, Evan, ninja. So great. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
And they accepted the new price, the new scope, without any additional comment. And you're now drafting up a contract to sign, and they're working on their NDA and accounting details on their end. And then your second victory is you signed up on HelloBonsai.com to test out their suite of freelancing tools. So far, so good. They have templates of contracts with vetted verbiage, and you're using one to draft the contract for your client. And you have some questions, but let's just celebrate this first freelance client.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you willing to share with me what their price was? What your final decision?
Sure. It started out as the proposed cost was $18,000 for the full project. Mm-hmm. I dropped it down. They countered with they wanted me to sharpen my pencil and lower it with, they didn't give me a price at first, but then they said 15K. Mm-hmm. And I reduced the scope and proposed 16.5K. And so it was in the middle, but with a reduced scope.
Yes. So aside from the question that you have about this particular job, how does all this feel to you?
It feels exciting and kind of unexpected. Like it's like, oh, this is actually happening. feels like kind of dog chasing the tail, like, or chasing the mail truck, finally got it, now what do I do sort of experience.
Right.
But it is exciting and I'm hoping that it goes well.
Yes. Which brings to the question, one of the two questions that you have is, how do you shake this lingering fear that you're going to get screwed over or screw yourself over somewhere along the way with this particular client? Because this particular client was your former employer.
Yes.
Who you left for things that were really interfering with your ability to, you know, feel at peace with yourself in that environment. So now you're outside of that environment, but still connected to a company you didn't think you would be connected to any longer.
Right.
So how do you shake the lingering fear? I don't actually think you shake the lingering fear. Mm. I think you will have the lingering fear. And every time your brain goes over there and starts to think about the lingering fear and, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and starts to have a little mental spin cycle, you have to grab your brain and drag it back over to looking at it from a different perspective. You have to give it another chew toy. It wants to come over here and chew on the fear. And you're like, we're not going to do that.
Right.
So instead of you putting your energy towards like, I got to reduce this fear. I don't want to feel the discomfort that this fear brings up for me. I would put your energy towards, how can I get better at just having that discomfort be there, but calming my nervous system down each time it flares up? Because if you focus your energy I think if you focus your energy on learning how to calm yourself down, I think that's how the fear will diminish versus concentrating on like, how do I get rid of this fear? Mm-hmm. That could just add a layer of stress of like, oh my God, I have this fear. Like, yeah, then we're just building this little layered cake over here of awfulness. So then the question is, okay, well, how do I distract my mind when it gets in the spin cycle of fear? Here, it's kind of, I think what will help you feel like you can handle the discomfort of the fear is having a game plan in place for yourself. So one of the first things you're going to do differently this time around, first of all, you have to remind yourself. This is how you calm, you drag your brain over and you remind it. First of all, we have more leverage.
Right.
Because even though you have a contract, you're not an employee. You're here with, you have to think of yourself as collegiate with the company. You're a contractor, an expert they are bringing on to solve a problem they have. They do not have dominion over you. You're actually there to advise them and work from your expertise.
Mm. Okay.
Even though they're paying you money, even though you have a contract, it's like, yeah. And it's a contract of equal to equal. They can't boss you around. They can't increase the scope of the duties. You get to hold the line on this one. You're not used to having leverage, but you'll get used to it. It's great. So you're going to remind your brain, I have leverage in this situation. And you're going to notice and deal with the first red flag. Because what gets people into trouble is they notice the first red flag and go, well, okay, but I don't want to rock the boat. So I'll just not say anything, but kind of keep watching. And then they see another red flag. And then like by the fourth red flag, they're like, okay, I'm going to deal with this now. But then it gets bigger and bigger. You now are going to deal with the first red flag. They did something or they said something that made me uncomfortable. Like, okay. So you're not going to let it get bigger. Third, you're going to remind yourself that you have resources to turn to for advice. So you're not doing this alone.
Right.
Anything that goes wonky with this, let me know. You also have Miata's Q&A to be like, okay, something's going weird here. How do I handle this? You can call small business. You know, there's lots of like free help, LegalZoom, like you're covered. You're not going to get wounded in any kind of mortal way. Your business is not going to get wounded in any kind of mortal way from this exchange. Because you're in a very different position with a lot more support. So you just remind yourself that and remind yourself that, even if you have to do it 100 times a day, but anytime the fear comes up, drag your brain back and go, okay, look, I got you. And it's really, really important that you are very, very kind to yourself. When yourself gets this fear, there's a reason for it. You went through an experience that kind of nurtured and built this in. So it's not like you're doing this for no reason or feeling these things because you're overreacting. You're not.
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, there goes my fear. Notice it. There goes my fear alarms are going. I'm getting sweaty palms. It's okay though. That's normal. It's natural. I'm going to remind myself, calm my brain down, carry on.
Okay.
So does Am I answering your question in a way that you feel you can run with that will be helpful?
Yes, it does feel helpful. Like, okay. I've written that down in my notes to make sure I can keep reminding myself of these things.
Yeah, very, very kindly. And then the fear about you not putting something in the contract, forgetting something, doing something to screw yourself over or screw the project kind of up. The fear about that is how bad you'll feel if you do that, okay? This is the mantra that I use. Christine, do not experience the trauma before the trauma. Because I've had some really significant things to deal with in my life, and certainly in the past 4 years, where my brain would just go, and I'm just like, I was feeling the actual feelings of grief and sadness and fear. And I'm like, whoa, 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 okay. That will likely happen in the future, but it's not happening right now. But the trouble with it is my body doesn't know it's not happening right now if I'm churning up all the feelings. Mm-hmm. So it's really important not to feel the feelings of how horrible that will be if it happens when it's not actually happening.
Right.
You're going to deal with it. And that's kind of what you just have to tell yourself. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Do you live in Los Angeles?
No, up in Northern California.
Oh, Northern California. Okay. So here's the thing. If you live in California, you literally live in earthquake country. And that can happen at any time. You don't even know where you're going to be. You could be down here in Los Angeles when it happens. You just have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the only way you can live in this state is to be like, well, I guess I'll deal with it. It happens. Like, what else am I going to do? I guess I'll figure it out. Hopefully there'll be people to help me. Hopefully I'll have some supplies if I need them. Like, we don't realize we're living in that situation every single day. And the only reason we don't think about it is because we've already decided for ourselves that we're going to have to deal with it. But you don't have to freak yourself out every day that you live right in California. Same thing with this. It's like, okay, well, anything can happen. I'll try to do this contract to the best of my ability. It's your first contract. You're getting help with it. You're doing what you can do. And then you'll deal with it and learn from it. But this is really, earning your own money is a lot about learning how to calm your brain down. Because it just is scary. It just feels like you're surfing all the time.
Right.
You hope, you want a wave to come. And then when the wave comes, you're like, whoa, a wave. Okay, now. But you need the wave to make the money. Yeah. Okay. So then you asked, your client has accepted your proposal. What should be your next steps to make sure that this project runs smoothly on the business side of things? Things on your mind are ensuring that your contract language is solid, setting up invoicing and bank accounts properly, setting up whatever I need to report for taxes. So I think that it's weird. You would think I would have a lot to say on this stuff, but I think almost Miata would have more than me to say on this stuff, because I have never worked with corporations or companies. I work more with individuals. So I don't have like lawyer solid contracts. I just have agreements with my clients, and that's the kind of work I do. That's how it flows. So I think that, you know, the places you're looking for contract languages, great. Like, I would have to turn to Google. So I don't know exactly. But I do know if you if you look at different contracts, you can start to see the patterns of like, oh, well, there's a, this thing is in all of them. And I didn't know I needed this sort of clause. Setting up your invoicing. When you say setting up your invoicing, what do you mean by that? What do you think you need to have?
That's a good question. Because I have in my proposal, like I'll be paid in milestones. Like at this, mm-hmm. at this point in the project, I will be paid this much. At point B, I will be paid this much. And so just want to know how to ask for that money when those milestones come up and if they need to have certain systems or online Quicken or whatever in place to do that sort of thing.
Okay. So you can do it a million different ways. If I was in your shoes, this is how I'd probably do it. Cause I'm just like, what's the leanest, easiest way I can do things? That's just always where I want to go. Mm-hmm. So I have this deliverable that I'm done with. And I would time it either because sometimes the deliverable might have to go to a person and the invoice goes to a different person.
Right.
So I would have them go out immediately after each other. So I hit send on the deliverable and I hit send on the invoice to the person. So it lands. My invoice would be a Word document or a Pages document that said, hello, as per the contract, this is what was delivered at this time on this date. And this much money is now due. Here's the link on, or here are the different ways you can pay me or however they're going to pay you. Zelle, PayPal, whatever you've decided. Here's the link or here's the information you need to know.
Okay.
Easy.
That's simple.
All you need is here's what I need. Here's where to send the money. And if you want to set up a different bank account for all of your business money to go into, that is a good idea. It doesn't have to be a fancy business account. It can just be another personal checking account.
Okay. Yeah.
It absolutely doesn't have to be anything fancy. All the IRS, to my knowledge, not giving out tax advice, but to my knowledge, the IRS just likes to see that your business money is separate from your other money. So it's just tracked separately. Even if everything that comes into the account, you eventually just transfer over to your personal account. It just likes to see that you are keeping things separate.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, you just need for right now, just open a separate checking account.
Okay.
And then have it go into there. And then setting up whatever you need to report for taxes. What do you mean by that?
I guess, because I know this being my first sole proprietor freelancing thing, I've never had to report taxes on my own before. It's always been getting a W-2 from my employer, and that's what I do. But now keeping track of what I'm, the payments that I'm getting from my clients, like it's not under the table. This needs to be reported somehow.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So the basic mechanics of, especially since you're getting a chunk of change from this particular client, and hopefully more to come for you in this year, of course, you will need to start paying estimated taxes. Quarterly taxes. There's a payment that's due. So you're paying your 2022 taxes all throughout 2022 instead of paying them April 2023. You'll file your taxes in April 2023. So you'll have a payment due in April, a payment due in June, September, January.
Okay.
Following January. So what you want to do is you go to irs.gov to look for forms 2022, like self-employment estimated tax, and you can print out the forms. And you'll need one for the state and one for the Fed. And the way it goes, again, not tax advice, but I'm just kind of saying the way it goes is By the end of the four payments, the IRS wants you to have paid your amount of taxes. It's okay if you overpay them, but you don't want to underpay them. If you severely underpay them, there's like a penalty. So it's called estimated tax because you're kind of estimating your tax. So if you know from this client you're getting like $16,000, you can break that up into like four. So that's what, 4,000, 4,000, 4,000, 4,000. What's 20% of $4,000? That's what you would pay. And then if you're getting more money from other clients, you would pay 20% or so of those. I mean, 20%, not tax advice. I'm just pulling that, but a percentage. Right. Okay.
Okay.
The IRS is like, just give us some money while you're earning it, please. And then if you overpay in the year, you can push that towards the next year's estimated tax. Like you can use that extra money to pay for whatever else you owe on your taxes that year. Okay. And then you'll file a Schedule C for your new sole proprietorship. And this, what's nice is that this contract is coming in during the early part of 2022. So you can file your taxes as normal for this year.
2021. Yeah.
And then, and then next year, I would recommend you contact Elena Campbell, who is part of Creating Cash Flow and Abundance Bound. She does taxes for folks exactly like you.
Okay.
And she can help you get all that stuff in order. And she's lovely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So keep everything simple until you need to make it more complicated.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks so much. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Super, super excited. Gregory. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Okay. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. So you have a victory and a question.
I almost forgot completely what I wrote.
Well, I will read it.
It was pretty early on in the week. Yeah.
Okay. So Gregory, you are doing personal training and coaching as your side biz, your cash flow kitten. We're looking for you to get clients for this, to beta test this new program that you've put together. You started reaching out to current clients to ask for referrals. You started training your acting teacher in a barter situation for acting classes for personal trainers. Victory. Yeah. First client, doesn't matter that it's a barter client. Mm-hmm. You are now working and testing out your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he's like the perfect, fits the perfect client. I was reading this just going, well, that's convenient. Mm-hmm. You get acting classes and you get to literally train your ideal type of client because he's a, where is this? Oh yeah. He's a 50-year-old man with an 8-year-old son, which is perfect. And you wrote here, "While I know this isn't cash in the bank just yet, I felt during and after our first session together that I can do this." What do you mean by that? Tell me more.
So like my hesitation in like doing any kind of barter, I would come here and I was like, Christine's going to tell me don't do barter because it's not like cash in hand, you know?
Yeah, but you want what you're bartering.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I feel good about it. And like after my first session with him, it just felt really good. You know, like I left, I was like really vigilant with my time and just like was really prepared with like anything that might happen during our first session. And it just went really, really well. When I left, I was just like, maybe I can do this, you know? And it felt like a little bit of a win, you know? And so we're going to meet like once a week right now. And I told him I would send him two other workouts to do on his own. And then the fourth workout day is you have to choose your own thing to do, whether it's biking with your son or like hiking or like getting out for a long walk or something. It's funny because like, yes, ideal client and, you know, wants to like keep up with his kid, but he was like, he played, you know, his name is John. He played baseball and, you know, he was a college athlete, but like, he was like, yeah, we'll be able to play baseball with my son. But his, all his son wants to do is play video games, which I think is really funny. He's like, he's not having trouble like keeping up with his son, but, yeah, there, he does like, it's funny because his wife was there too. And his wife was like, just saying how he gives so much energy to other people. This is like the thing for himself. So that was something that, you know, I can, is malleable, whether it's like, it doesn't have to be like keeping up with your kid, but it's like giving yourself more energy so you can like be present with your kids and be present with your family and be present with yourself. So it went really well. And like, I sent him a workout to do on Friday and like, I didn't hear from him for a while. And like, rather than just like checking in every, you know, day, and I left it alone. And I followed up with him this morning just to like see what, if our Wednesday was still a good day to meet in person. And he did respond saying he, you know, he did the workout today with his wife and they loved it. So I was like, amazing, great. He just like wasn't feeling well. It wasn't COVID or anything. And was like, had nothing to do with our training session because I followed up to see how he was doing afterwards, just like if he was sore, if he was like, I didn't crush him too bad, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, he felt great. He was just like resting because he felt a little under the weather, but it like wasn't COVID. He tested a couple of times and he's good. But he did the workout today with his wife and it went really well. And like, we're locked in again for Wednesday. So I'm probably going to send him another workout tonight to do tomorrow or Tuesday. And then we'll like work together on Wednesday. It'll still be in person, but like he's got a backyard, which is great. He's got an elliptical at home and like there's plenty of stuff that we could do just within this first month and then take it from there. And like, who knows, he might even turn into like, he might like it so much that like he's a paying client and it's not trade anymore. It's like, because based on what his acting classes are, I think I wrote that in my question, is it's only like he can only get a couple sessions with me, like based on how much his classes are. So
are you bartering on your, it sounds like you're bartering on money. You're bartering like his classes cost this much. My training costs this much. And yeah, that's how we're doing the barter.
Yeah. Like when this initially came up, this came up like back in November or end of October when I was like, I can't take classes anymore. I'm strapped for cash. I'm trying to figure stuff out. And like, this is kind of an expense that I can't. He's like, nah, you're like, you're booking work now. Like you're in flow. Like we need you in class. He was like, will you like do trade? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I sent him, he was like, how much is your personal training session? And this is like at a time where I was like starting to do house calls. And I was like 150, you know, for me to come to you per hour. He was like, geez, that's like two sessions for the month of where, cause like his classes cost $295 for four classes for the, you know, but he gets it. He coaches, you know, individual clients himself. So he's like, you know, I'm not going to ask you for discounts. He's like, but he does know. So yeah, that's what we're bartering.
Yeah. Okay.
The value of the class for a session. So if like, it's basically per month, it's two sessions with me. But if he wants to do more, he'll do more. Like right now, he kind of has a couple banked because he gave me November and December of acting classes for free. And like,
nice.
I told him, you've got four sessions banked. And I just let him know also in like this follow-up email that included like his Friday workout, that just like, just in case it comes up to anyone else that you know that is like also, I haven't like asked for a referral yet in terms of like other, you know, young dads. Just letting him know, like he is kind of getting like a, like me sending the workouts per week is added value and something. Yeah. Because like, if you're looking at what my program would be, my $3,000 program, he's paying a little bit less than that per month right now. Right. Yeah. So I just let them know that, like, that's an added value. This is a, you know, your name only. This is a John only discount. Yeah. So yeah. I am kind of giving him a little bit of a discount, but it's still like a beta test. So he doesn't know that I'm testing it out, but it's like, in case it comes up, like, don't tell people what you're bartering, what you're paying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you're getting something that is very valuable to you out of it.
Yeah.
It feels like a really nice exchange.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So the question you had then is you're looking for more next steps on how to keep this going, but then how to really get the cash coming in. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Oh, I had another question first. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to put together the workouts that you then send to him kind of like midweek?
So that took me a little bit longer than I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be a little bit, once I get a sense of like what he can and can't do, because mm-hmm. right now I'm like, our first session together, we only did some like really basic movements. Right. And like, I'm not about to throw in like a modified handstand pushup for him without like coaching him individually in person. I think that would be completely irresponsible for me to be like, right. Here, do this movement. Everything I sent him. So it took a little while just because everything I sent, every move from like jumping jacks to like a downward facing dog, like I put video links to, you know, everything is like mm-hmm. pretty, like you can't really screw it up. I'm like, you know, the only thing you might screw up is maybe like some form somewhere, but like mm-hmm. nothing was really like going to put him in a position to injure himself.
Right.
So that took like around like 30 to 45 minutes just to do like one of the workouts. Mm-hmm. But like, I know I can, if I block out time, I can be a little bit more consistent with that. And almost kind of like what's been working for me is like taking all of my clients and while it just like sticking to a similar kind of structure in yes. terms of like when they're doing upper body, when they're doing lower body, yep. and then like just modifying the movement. So instead of writing three different workouts, I'm writing one workout and just like scaling the modifications for them based on what equipment they have, what they don't have. So
you got it.
Yeah. And that's come with like trial and error, just like having clients at my gym where I'm like, there was a time where I was like writing, I had clients back to back and I was writing like two different workouts, putting all this shit away, putting it all out. And it's like, what am I doing? Like, just yeah. do the same workout and just scale it for them.
Modify. Yeah. Love it. And then you're getting this collect these mm-hmm. video links somewhere so you can easily just like throw yeah. them into emails for your clients.
Yeah. I'm going to try to keep it pretty basic for the first, I think like, I'll do like an upper body day, a lower body. Cause like we're talking about the 6-month program. I'm kind of like making it up as I go along. So it's yes, like, so it's like upper body day, lower body day, and then like full body and cardio day, which I think like the, full body and cardio day might be like the day that you're with me, whether it's in person or just because I'll be able to show you more movements. Mm-hmm. And I'll be there to be like, at the times where you want to stop and your heart rate's going through the roof, I'll be there to be like, okay, let's chill out for a second or like, keep going. I got you, you know?
Yeah. It's, here's the thing that I want to impress upon everybody listening to this is that there are some things about your side business that you cannot figure out until you start to just do yeah. that thing. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the calls from December 2021, when Regina is building her wreath business, mm-hmm. she just started kind of doing the thing and she learned and modified and iterated from that. So you're doing it, Gregory, exactly right. This is what it feels like. Oh, okay. And then you figure things out and then you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everybody goes through.
Yeah, I was just like thinking before he texted me that. I mean, like I hadn't heard from him since after yeah. our workout. And mm-hmm. We worked out on Wednesday. I followed up on Thursday to be like, hey, just check in and see how you're feeling. Here's your workout for Friday. Here are some other notes. And then I hadn't heard from him until today. And like, you know, each day goes by and I'm like, oh my God, he didn't do the workout. He hated it. He doesn't know how to do any of the movements. But like,
what did you learn from this experience? So you were like, oh my God, he's not responding. And then you found out why. And he then did the workout successfully. So what are you going to do differently in the weeks ahead?
What am I going to do differently? Well, what I learned is that like I can only control what I can control, which is like giving him the workouts. Whether he does them, it's not on me.
Correct.
How he feels going into them is not on me. If you want to like talk about that beforehand or like during our sessions together, that's the stuff that I'll be able to like get answers to. But like worrying that he hates the workouts or didn't like them does nobody any service. If anything, it's the opposite. It does me a disservice and creates anxiety that is completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Eats up your energy.
Yeah.
So I want you to just assume everything's fine. Okay. Until you hear otherwise. And check in with him when you guys are together for your session. And if he doesn't do a workout, that's great. Gives you something to talk about. Why didn't you? Like, what's the stumbling block? What can we do differently next week? Like that's the coaching part. That's the help. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if he does the workout, and it's okay if he doesn't do the workout. Progress will be made mentally, or progress will be made physically. But once you send off that email, here's your workout, I'll see you Wednesday, you're done with that client.
Yeah.
And now you can use all your energy and all your attention and all your bandwidth for your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So just assume everything is fine.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's something you're going to have to just get used to. Your brain will go over here, you drag it back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you had two more clients right now, two paying clients right now, how many hours a week, not with this client, but how many hours then would you be working on your business with these two new clients? Two more hours a week, four more hours a week?
Probably at least four, just because okay. Two more hours would mean at least 1 hour with them per week.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least 1 hour with them for that week. And then like, just to develop, it might even be a little, yeah, just to develop like a program for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's just call it an extra hour to be safe to give them two workouts per week.
Yeah. So this is my formula that I use when people want to generate income. They're like, ooh, I want this much money, which would mean I'd have this many clients.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would get those clients, you would be finding 4 hours in your week to work, to serve those clients.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take that same amount of time, and that's the time you're going to use each week to find clients. 4 hours a week. And then once you get your next client, the finding client time goes down to 2 hours a week until you get the other client. That's a really simple, good way to figure out how much time should you actually need to really devote to figuring out ways to get the word out to find these other clients. They're out there. So 4 hours a week, that is. And then, okay, so then the next question is, all right, 4 hours a week, what do I do within those 4 hours a week? Who doesn't know that I'm doing this yet? Who doesn't know? Every single person in your acting class should know that, hey, I'm training. I have this new thing. I'm starting. Like just everybody should know about this. And then you want to look at like, okay, well, how do I use LinkedIn? What are some parenting groups? You know, are there any groups, associations for dads out there on the web? Like where all these new dad clustered? And you might also even niche down, not necessarily in your marketing, but just when you're searching online, are there any groups of older dads, like new dads for the first time dads over 45? Because men, you know, have their first kid. George Clooney was like 50 something years old when he had his twins, you know? So are there any places of clusters of them where you could just get the word out?
Okay.
And who else works with people like this? Are there any therapists that work
with
new debt, you know, because
I was just going to say my therapist, my former therapist, who like constantly hits me up for referring me for things. And yeah, these are people that need to know, other than just like current clients or like people that I've coached at the gym before. I'm hesitant to like tell too many people at the gym just because like,
you don't have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody else is, have you posted in cash flow yet? Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm looking for this particular type of client. Everywhere. 4 hours a week. How do I get the word out?
Now,
and part of that's going to be research, and part of that's going to be sending emails.
And I've been sending emails, but not nearly enough as I could. I can count on two hands how many emails I've sent. It's not enough. Now, let's just say hypothetically, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you at the point you were making?
No, go for it.
Let's just say hypothetically, I reach out to a woman that is seeking or that just for, I'm looking for a referral, like someone that I've trained in the past. And she says, no, but I am, or like my girlfriend is, or my wife, or some, my friend is, you know, thoughts.
Oh,
if it's not like the
idea. You want to pay me $3,000? I'll totally train you. That's my thought. Yeah. I think that's going to happen naturally. What's great about having a niche, though, is it gives you something specifically. It's like, instead, it's just a different energy of like, I'll train anybody. Do you want to be my client? It's like, no, I'm not even asking you. I'm really looking for these people.
Yeah.
It sort of is like, oh, he's very specific, which lowers their defenses about you trying to get them as a client, but then they might want to have to be your client.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense? Because it's weird. It's just a great thing of like, I'm looking for this particular person. So if a woman or just a client that's outside of that niche.
That's kind of what I meant anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Comes to you and goes, oh, then you have a little conversation. Yeah. What do they want? You just ask them questions until you're pretty sure you can help them. And once you're like, okay, I totally think I can get you to your goal. It's a 6-month commitment. It's this much money.
Yeah, it's a good point. I remember you like, I think I listened to one of your conversations with a woman who was a like tutor for helping kids get prep for college. And she'd had that, she got referred to someone and then had that conversation and asked those questions and got to the point where it was like, I'm not the person for you. Let me refer you. So it doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Right. But I want to make sure, Gregory, that you're not, something in me tells me you could have a conversation. You could have a series of lots of conversations that always is concluded with you're not the right person for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think I do. Yeah. That's not what my aim is. My aim is just to see if I am the right person for that.
Yes.
Which I want to be.
Yeah. As we talked about before, you and women, I think, are a really good training match as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what I would do for definitely the rest of January, 4 hours a week. Okay. What am I going to do? And if you're sitting there and you're like, I've emailed everybody, then the next thing you Google is, how do I get more clients? How do I find clients? There's a billion podcasts on how to get clients and marketing podcasts and all of this kind of stuff. And I've been listening to a podcast I'm eventually going to find time to post it in the community, but I've been thinking about you the whole time, you and Karen. It's called The Money Sessions.
That's the one you sent me, right? The
therapy. Oh, did I send it to you?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't, okay, I haven't listened to it yet, but I looked at some. I have, because, yeah, it's, yeah.
Have you listened to any of them?
I haven't listened to them yet, but okay. I opened up the podcast and started downloading some to put on my list and was like, oh, yeah, it's, each episode is about someone who is afraid of or is hesitant to increase their rate for like people that they want to help.
Yeah. It's a fascinating podcast. And I think everybody listening to this right now and hearing my voice should totally listen to this. So it's a podcast about therapists, and this therapist has a business and she helps other therapists get over their money issues so they can raise their prices. Cause therapists have a lot of conflict between like, oh, but I want to help and serve and all these people and they can't afford it. And then how do you move out? A lot of them are in like insurance panels and group practices that, you know, take a percentage of what they earn. And she's trying to help them get into private practice and charge premium fees and really have a business that sustains their life and going through all the money drama. And so the people she has on the podcast, you hear about where they were before and how they made the mental transition to being able to raise their prices. And it's just interesting because there's a lot of podcasts that talk about the mechanics of raising your prices, but this is the first podcast where it's really just about people getting over their mindset. How did they shift their mind around and shift their perspective on how they looked at things and their clientele that got them? And they all felt the fear about raising their prices. And it's good to hear over and over and over again. Yes, everyone feels uncomfortable and sometimes afraid when they're raising their prices, including me. It gets less and less over the years, but I used to freak out every time I did it. And I was so sure I was dooming my business. No one would ever pay this much. And then one person did. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, one person did, two people will, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that. And it's just, I just love it. It's like, ooh, this is a different, really good aspect of how to look at people. They talk about, you know, the greed, feeling greedy when you're charging and how much, but yeah, it's good. So definitely that'll be good for you to listen to. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your clients are out there. You just haven't found them yet because you don't have enough of an army of people helping you spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could definitely do more outreach. So, and that's on me.
Yeah. So it's great. So the story is like, oh yeah. Okay. The good news is I haven't done as much as I can do. Mm. So that just means there's more to do. So then you go and do it.
Mm.
Yeah. 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 You have not like hit a wall and that's it. And you've exhausted your resources. No, right. No. Good.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ruthie and Britt, I'm just checking in time-wise to see if you guys have any questions, because then I have two things for the submitted people. No on Ruthie. Hi, Britt.
If you have time, I just updated my website. And if y'all want to take a look, and I don't know, if you have time, just to give me like generic first response feedback.
Yeah, what is it?
It's simply my name, brittlauer.com, BRITTLOW.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Some other people I've been. Okay. So I personally am quite a fan of minimalist websites. Like I like that style. And I feel like the style of your website, and I don't know you very, I've known you minimalist. So, but what I do know about you and what I have kind of seen, the little snippets of your work that I've seen, this feels to me very much in line with you. So you're not presenting something that is sort of like, whoa, okay, well, that's a little different than the essence that I was getting from you. You're intelligent. Here's what I have surmised. You're intelligent. You have experience. When I say intelligent, it's also mixed with a gravitas. Like I would take you seriously as a person, but you're also definitely an artist, artistic, like really, really artsy. So that all jibes to me. I'm not getting any mixed messages. The thing though, your about page is your homepage. And the thing is that why did you pick this picture? What do you feel this picture communicates?
I don't know. I thought it was sort of off the cuff and not too actor headshotty and kind of playful, but professional. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It definitely is that. It has a casual vibe. You're looking off camera. The thing, and this is one person's opinion. This is just my opinion. So the thing about it is it's the very first picture I get of you. But we also have to consider is people are coming to this website having seen you in some capacity before. So that's another good consideration because people may come to my website, maybe never having seen me before because someone just mentions me and then they go look me up. But I bet everyone's seen you before they would get to your website. So in that case, this picture's okay. Like it's fine. And I do like the casualness of it. What's weird is the placement of the hands. It's the hands to me say insecure and everything shoulders up say secure. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like a little mixed messagey, but knowing that someone will have already had a taste of you, I don't even think that'll be an issue. One of the things I always think of when I'm thinking about websites, when someone lands on your homepage, is if you're looking at them versus not looking at them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's not a picture that I'm like, you need to change the picture. It's not that at all. It's just sort of like, oh, that's a really interesting picture. But that's just one person's opinion. And if you like the picture, which I assume you do, I would basically leave it. It's fine. Like, don't think it. That's not what I call a deal breaker at all.
No, but it's great. It's great feedback. And I have other photos within that series. They're all taken on actual film, which I love. And
wow. Yeah. It's a great,
it's funny because the photographer was like, just look, like do something with your hands. Like you're looking at your watch. Like that was something totally directed. So it's It's tickling me that you noticed that.
I mean, I don't know what I want otherwise, but it's sort of like, huh, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. But it's a great photo of you. Like it's a good photo. Okay. But more important than that, the thing that is difficult for me about this landing page is I have to read a lot of little text to figure out that you've done some fucking awesome stuff. And I would like, because people hit websites and they always skim first before they read. That's why logos and photos and things that communicate a lot with a quick hit lead people to be like, oh, what did she do on Apple? And then they read what you did on Apple. Or they say they see you and a little thumbnail of you and Adam Scott. And they're like, oh, what did she do with him? Like something that's like, oh, so even if I don't read anything, I'm still getting, oh, she's like acting in things.
Well, here's my thing about the acting pieces. I wasn't even my other website. I don't even include my acting work on it.
Right.
Previous to now, because I feel like IMDb is a sufficient resume. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't really want this to be an actor website. It's okay. Why I made it like, here are some other people I've been. I don't even list the credits. It's just like, these are the characters I've created as an artist.
Okay. Yeah. Totally got it. And I think it's really important. If that's your intention, you've successfully created something that serves that intention.
Okay.
And this is a minimalist thing, because even when you're like film, you're not listing the roles and the things. It's just sort of, these are the people I've been. This is a very atmospheric website. It's sort of like it's almost like feel me. Yeah. Rather than learn a lot about me.
That's which good. Is
completely legitimate.
That's what I want. Legitimate.
Okay.
Wait, so you're saying it is minimalist to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
Oh yeah, the design is minimalist. Okay. In fact, great. There's only four sections, and in each section, it's just very like, click on this or click on like it's a website I swim through and I leave kind of having a feeling for you rather than more necessarily knowledge about you. But you're right. I mean, if I want to know about you, I'll go to IMDb.
Well, that's the thing is like when you Google search my name, you get a lot of red carpet photos that to me do not feel like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want is for people to feel me. So, as an artist, as a filmmaker, as someone who is interested in like feeling, you know, translating feeling into art.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. If that's what you're going for, that's what I get from it.
Does it seem too out there though? Like that no. There's like, you can't grab onto it.
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing, but also as an actor who's now done some work and has an IMDb page and has photographs of yourself out there and has clips and stuff that we can look at YouTube, you know, this is just a piece of all of that stuff. It for other people, the website starts as being the piece, but for you, it's just a piece now. And so it can be the type of piece that you would like it to be. Mm. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Okay. So let me look at this homepage again. What?
Do you want there to be a landing page instead? Because gotten that feedback too, but.
Oh, what was that feedback?
Well, that there's like, if you go to the website, there's like a landing page where it's a picture and then you click to enter and then you go to, you know, as opposed to the about page being the main thing that you see?
You know what? I think I do want that. I think it's because if I am hit with an image of you and then I click and I'm taken to the about page, I know I'm at the about page. And so I need to read the about page.
Mm-hmm.
And then the secondary picture makes total sense. Like it wouldn't bother me if this was an about page that wasn't the homepage, this picture would not have bothered me if it was the secondary shot I got of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the way everything's laid out with this type wouldn't have bothered me at all. I think my problem is I hit this page and I'm like, I don't immediately have to like read things mm-hmm. first. So I actually think that that's what I think everything else about the site, I wouldn't change a thing. And then give me a landing page with an some picture of you looking at me. It doesn't have to be a headshot. It can be a total or not, or a picture of you looking, it actually doesn't have to look at me, but just give me a photo and then let me enter your swim through the rest of your website.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly it.
Cool.
But again, just my opinion and whatever else people are saying on the chat.
No one said anything. Come on, friends. I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for jumping in.
Yeah. And it's lovely and it's classy and minimalist always reads elevated. So I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I can't wait for your show.
I know it's coming out so soon. I'm doing press on the 23rd of January. So I'm just gearing up to do a whole lot of things that are really new to me and I'm on my growth edge.
She's starring in an Apple Plus TV series with Adam Scott and directed by Ben Stiller. Like, so exciting.
It's not lost on me. Okay. I just want everyone to know. I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's a BFD, man. I'm so happy for you. So thanks for stopping by. I was happy to take a look at that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Such a great community.
I happen to think so too. So Regina isn't here yet, but I'm going to read her victory because it's awesome. So she had talked about being invited on a panel to be part of a panel. And it finally happened. It had been postponed several months. And she said, so the alternative healing panel for the senior pet. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to get used to my new thing. Regina, her side business is Peaceful Pets. She does Reiki and crystal energy sessions for pets and their humans and the spaces that they share. And she's a cash flow cat. She was on this panel. It finally happened in December. And although I was nervous and scared, she wrote, I made sure to shore up my mindset and I took the plunge anyway. And it went so well. And I loved fielding certain questions, even though this was my first time doing this, but it felt like I did okay. And I gave some helpful tools and I felt connected and shared and related to the group pretty well. And the head of the support group texted me in the middle of it and said, you are so articulate. Holy cow. She offered a discounted rate to the audience. And when the panel came to an end, I felt like I had successfully climbed Mount Everest somehow, and I felt ready for more. And that's super exciting. And then after Christmas, she did a virtual session for the woman who put together this panel and the woman's dog. And she wrote, I was a bit nervous, but again, I shored up my mindset and made sure that I researched the best crystals to use for what she was going through and what her dog was experiencing. And I felt more comfortable because I do sessions every week for one of my pet sitting clients' dogs. So the process has gotten into my muscle memory. And when we concluded, she admitted how good she felt, and she was surprised that just the simple act of relaxing in silence for even a short time has such a profound positive effect. And she said, as soon as she was coming out of the session, a thought came to her that she'd like to write about me in an interview for an article in a blog that she writes for the Doggington Post, and wants to do some Instagram lives with me as well. I could not have asked for anything more and never expected anything more. So I just enjoy interacting with her and being able to practice this energy work on someone that was so great. And really anything beyond that is so amazing. And I'm like, wow. So I know I am here because of the work we do and the community that we have in creating cash flow and Abundance Bound. Celebrating you, Regina, and the victories. That's amazing. You're getting lots of claps right now. Yes. And I think the most important part was you shored up your mindset. And it just makes me feel so great to hear that, because it shows that you're absorbing the work that we're doing here, because that is the key to everything. Everything you do as an entrepreneur is freaky deaky and it's scary. And it's because you're usually going into uncharted territory. And so your mind is the wily thing that has to be comforted and distracted and calmed down and all those things to let you go through each and every day. And your mind, it doesn't change. Your mind doesn't change. Every single time you go into uncharted territory, all the feelings come up. 20 years into being self-employed, every time I go into uncharted territory, all the feelings come up. I've just gotten better at being able to pull my mind back. It doesn't take as much energy. It's like, I know the things to say to it, but I still have to go through that process. And that's okay. And I also don't judge myself. Oh, here I am again. My mind, I have to do this again. So what? So what if you have to do it again? So what if you have to do it 10 times a day? There's no fault in that. That's just, we're human. This is what our mind does. So just do the thing and then go on and do the other things. And don't stress about it, judge yourself about it, beat yourself up about it. All that is just extra energy expenditure. And I want you guys expending your energy on the stuff you need to do. So Karen has some victories as well. I think she wants me to save these. She said she might come on, she might not towards the end. So I'll save them and then we'll do them next week if she's not here. But other than that, we're just hanging out. I will just be hanging out here until Karen comes, unless anybody has any other questions. But we can conclude this right now if you'd like. But we can talk about whatever. We can just watch Ruthie cook.
I guess I have a question that has just come to mind. Like, do you know if there's anybody in the Abundance Bound community who has experience with reviewing freelance contracts? I was thinking about posting it in there to see if anybody has experience or knows anyone who does have experience.
I don't know off the top of my head anyone who has that experience. But I would post that comment and maybe tag, at Miata Yadoga, tag Miata so that she'll see it. You can say, and Christine told me to tag Miata.
Okay.
In case she knows, just so she could see it, because she'd almost be the person I would ask about that.
Evan, where do you live?
Sacramento.
I know they have this in New York, and I bet they have it in California too, but it's like the New York Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. Then maybe there's something like that in California, and they just work pro bono because they want to work with artists. Maybe something like that, California Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. I don't know if that exists. That's just a random idea.
Okay, thank you. I made a note of that.
I think it does, because I do remember having that as a resource. I didn't even know it was specific to states. I think there's also maybe just one organization, but yeah, pro bono lawyers, free legal advice, good things to Google. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing is like a legal Zoom or, oh my God, when I come up with the name, but that you pay like $25 a month. And if you need just an attorney for some suggestions, they will give you advice before you have to hire someone. But I had like a rent thing and I call them and they're like, oh, is it, you know, what is the area of expertise you need? And then I had an attorney call me and he consulted with me. And I've had another attorney for a divorce situation and I spoke to them like a lot. And it was just $25 a month because I never hired them.
Okay.
I think of the name, I will put it in the community.
Okay.
And thank you. I also think if you Google Legal Shield, like all the other companies that are like LegalZoom will appear in your Google ads.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
LegalZoom is the company.
Ruthie used Legal Shield.
Legal Shield. Legal Shield. Elena had used them first and she told me about it. And I use them for like three different situations and I never had to pay more than the monthly fee. And so you can just join for a month and then, you know, get the advice you need and drop out, or 2 months, whatever you need.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Yep.
So I had a question about, like, you know, where I'm in the process of finding clients and, like, as I find clients in, like, figure out as I go mode. If I'm devoting, as you suggested, 4 hours to finding 4 hours a week, which is like nothing, you know, to finding new clients, which I can probably do more, but I'll start there and see how that goes. In any other free time, should I be like developing my, you know, what my 6 month program looks like? Should I be spending time on that stuff, or should I be like developing it as I go because I'm figuring out what people, the clients that I'm working with need specipically? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. What's your instinct about?
Just as I asked that question, my instinct is to like spend time on getting clients and then second to like figure it out, rather than like, you know, getting ready to get ready, you know?
Yeah.
Spend the time on it when it's necessary, rather than like building something that I might have to like change for, you know?
Yeah. And also, this is your side business.
Right.
And this is really important. When I give guidance around business, there's different guidance if this is someone's side business versus if you were like, I want to become a personal trainer and I want to have a full practice of this. It would be different guidance. Because for a side business, what's really important to always keep in mind, you know, for me, when I'm giving the guidance, is you have something else you actually really want to do, which is your acting career and your voiceover stuff. And like, that's what you're really pursuing. This training thing is for cash, money. This is about how do we spend the least amount of time and the least amount of effort and energy to get cash. That's what we're looking for in a side business. So partly my answer is, yeah, I agree with your instinct. I think you should just see and develop it as it goes along, because that's that way you're folding your development time into your working with client time. So you're getting two things out of that time. But also the reason that I think that's the way you should go is because I think the way you develop a framework that can really serve you in this side business is by working with clients and noticing patterns. Oh, the same thing comes up with all the people. Or, oh, if I start the workouts this way and then switch, it seems to help most people. And it, you're going to kind of naturally develop your framework from actually testing things, iterating on the go, rather than conceptualizing.
Cool. Thank
you. And yeah, and even there have been so many people who have like, I'm going to create a course for this, or I'm going to create this whole thing, this whole program in advance. And then it either doesn't sell because it wasn't what people wanted. It was just what someone thought people needed. And they would, I've heard so many times, oh my God, I would have done the whole thing differently now that I know, or now that I've worked with all these clients, I would do it differently. It's like, yeah. So this is a side business. Fold in your iteration time into your actual working with client time, and you're going to get better and more refined and find your little like, oh, this is kind of what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also what you're doing, people aren't coming to you because of your system. People are coming to, will want to work with you and give you money because of you. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very particular guidance for you, Gregory, and what mm-hmm. you, Gregory, are doing. Mm-hmm. But in your particular situation, it is about you rather than a framework. And that was the same thing for me as an organizer. Mm-hmm. People didn't care how we were going to get to the end. They cared that we were going to get to the end and that they really wanted to work with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question though. Really good question. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're complete for this week. And I'm here if you need me again on next Monday. Otherwise, have a really great week, everybody. Thank you for showing up. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine. Thanks, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.